News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, with news that the broadband review and the National Broadband Plan is not expected to find that the process has been undermined, what should happen to the rollout of fibre across the country? To discuss, we're joined on the line by Donal Palsik, who's a lecturer in economics at the University of Limerick. Donal, you're very welcome to the programme. I've just been reading some of what you've been writing on this, but you might catch our listeners up. It's your view, am I right, that actually the state should take back control of this rollout? Is that it?
Yes. Basically, if you go back and look at the ownership option that was decided on for the current contract that's under procurement, there was lots of different consultancy reports prepared prior to this, but KPMG produced the ownership report that looked at different options from fully public to fully private, and they recommended the current approach based on their assumption that there would be strong competition for the contract among established industry players that could leverage their network assets to basically submit lower cost bids that would have a lower subsidy. So really, regardless of what the Smith report finds about dealings between the former minister and McCourt, ever since CSIRO, the ESB Vodafone joint venture, exited the competition and then AIR followed shortly afterwards, really, the whole rationale for the approach being adopted has been undermined since that day.
When you use the phrase leveraging established assets, you're talking about the fact that those companies you mentioned, AIR and Vodafone, that they have an infrastructure in place.
Exactly,
is that it?
So that they themselves are constantly investing in their own networks, and you know, if they have an infrastructure in place in some of these areas that they could then leverage off, it should allow them to roll out the rural broadband infrastructure required in the intervention area at a lower cost.
Now, the consortium who have the deal at the moment, that, as we've said, it doesn't look like it's going to be undermined, and the government would say, look, despite the fact that the competition isn't there, that there is just one bidder essentially left in the process, that they're satisfied that it is the best deal and that it is value for money.
It simply couldn't be. I mean, if you just read the report that was produced, the entire document, any time that it talks about the gap funding model that they've decided to go with, always stresses competition, that the reason for adopting this approach would be that industry players, and I presume at the time they didn't name them, but they must have been talking about the likes of AIR, CSIRO, etc., would have very strong competition to try and win this contract, and that would drive down the cost of subsidy to government, and that is why it would be the cheapest option and best value for money. Whereas now we're in a situation where the company that is remaining does not have substantial network assets that it can leverage and to kind of generate cost efficiencies. And there is no competitive pressure whatsoever. So it's simply impossible to see how you can then say that it would arrive at the lowest subsidy, lowest cost type intervention for the government.
In terms of the government and the state taking charge of this, and look, other people have talked as well about rural electrification, and you know, we've done it before, we can do it again. The government does a lot less, I suppose, than it did during rural electrification. Back then, you know, they owned an airline, they owned hotels, you know, they owned a lot of these things. They've kind of diversified. They don't own telecommunications companies anymore.
They don't, but that effectively is why we are where we are today. The fact that we sold the network side of what was Telecom Air and then Aircom and now Air back in 1999 and lost control over the future direction, we've constantly been playing catch-up and constantly trying to intervene to fix the different market failures that have emerged. That hasn't happened in the other utility network sectors where we retained ownership. So when we sold Bord Gáis Energy a few years ago, the government obviously had learned the lessons. They retained the network, the natural monopoly, effectively under state ownership, and they sold the retail side of the business.
But Granahan McCourt and the And the point you're making that, look, they don't have the established assets. They've got to go out and kind of put shovels in the ground, as it were, and build all of this. Like they'll subcontract out to companies to do that. That's exactly what the government would have to do as well, isn't it? Like, the expertise doesn't exist within any department to actually directly hire people. It would just all be subcontracted out. They'd be doing the same thing that the bidder would be doing, wouldn't they?
You could actually use one or two of our existing state-owned enterprises that are commercial, so they're off balance sheet. But so the likes of Ervia, who have their own substantial telecoms operation, Aurora Telecoms, and they also obviously have Irish Water and Bord Gáis Networks. And we have the ESB, who obviously have Ciro, their joint venture with Vodafone. But they both also have very, very large network assets. Now, they're obviously not telecoms assets, but these companies are constantly obviously having to invest. They're doing similar type of work in terms of they're often having to, roll out their types of networks. But if you can coordinate all of that investment so that any time Irish Water or Bord Gáis or the ESB are investing in their own infrastructure, you could actually coordinate that and maybe lay fibre at the same time or whatever it might be. But through that coordination and almost amalgamating your assets together, you could actually achieve much greater cost efficiencies, because the biggest single element of the cost of putting down underground fibre is the civil works, the digging up the ground.
Yeah.
And if you can coordinate that across all of your state assets, you could actually do it at lower cost.
All right. Look, on that note, Donald Palsic is a lecturer in economics at the University of Limerick. People who are on Twitter, at Donald Palsic, if they want to read in a little more detail. Donald has been tweeting vociferously on this issue.